Welcome to the Crazy Ike Fan Podcast. I'm your host, Teddy. No matter where you are, thanks for making this part of your day. Thanks for taking a listen. Follow me across social media at Crazy Ike Fan on Instagram and on X, Crazy Ike Fan Facebook page. What's up, Ike Zidis and Greek football fans from around the world? It's your boy, Teddy, back at it. I apologize for not putting out a podcast earlier in the week. It's just been a crazy week, honestly. To be fully transparent, had a little bit of a health issue earlier in the week, so it's been kind of rough. And as I mentioned in my previous podcast, I'm going on a little holiday and then a business trip coming up. So just busy. But let me not bore you guys with that. Let's get straight to the team that we love. I'm going to talk a little bit, obviously, about the Ike Marseille match in France from the other day, and also touch briefly on the win in the league for Ike, 3-0 against Asteras, and touch a little bit on the basketball team. I'm going to go take a more in-depth look at the basketball team. I've started to follow. I watched a few matches here and there, and you know, like I always say about Ike basketball, it's always hard to follow a team when they have such a big roster turnover every season. But I will talk more in depth about the basketball team, hopefully the next podcast, which I probably won't be able to record a podcast next week, both due to the fact that I'm not going to be able to watch the Ike Balk Derby, unfortunately, and I'll discuss that a little bit later on in this podcast. Hopefully I'll be able to listen to it. You probably won't hear back from me until after either Ike Gifisa in the beginning of next month or the second match with Marseille in Athens the beginning of next month, in a couple of weeks basically. I apologize, just time constraints, work, blah blah blah, health. Anyway, so let's get right to it. I'm going to start with the Fresca Coluria. I'm going to start with talking a little bit about the Marseille Ike. Ike traveled to Marseille. For those that don't know, there's a great friendship between the ultras of both the clubs. So it's very, very nice atmosphere. Even for me, I watched the match through my phone, even through the little screen, and being able to hear the crowd, very intense, nice-looking atmosphere created by both sets of fans. A lot of Ike fans traveled to Marseille. Again, another event where I wish I could be there in person. Just looked like whoever went must have had a lot of fun. A fun match to attend on the pitch. Totally different story, so let's get right into it. First half, full disclosure, I think Marseille should have been up, right? 1-0. Marseille controlled the possession, had a few opportunities here and there, a few half opportunities. I shouldn't say they didn't have anything really clear cut. Stankovic made a couple of good saves. But clearly Marseille were the better team in the first half. Of course, Ike had been riddled by injuries, which I feel like that's going to be the theme of this season. Injuries have really, really cost Ike. Defensive blunders have really cost Ike. You know, so let's get into talking about, I'm going to talk about every goal individually and how I saw things. So Marseille take the lead in the middle of the first half, I think. Sorry, guys, I'm doing this completely off the cuff, so I didn't prepare any notes or anything. Just trying to do it from memory. I'm out of my element a little bit as I'm recording this. So I understand a lot of people would say there was probably an offensive foul there on Vida, and I know a lot of Ike fans have been complaining about that. A lot of stuff through the Ike media, and not just the Ike media. I mean, as we see things as fans, a lot of complaints about the officiating on this match. And you know, I am one that talks about officiating, but I always talk about how it could be subjective sometimes. You know, one person could see something one way that another person could see another way. That's perfectly fine, and I think that's always going to be the case with officiating. But in this match, I mean, okay, trying to regroup here. Let's talk about the first goal, right? A lot of people saw that as a foul on Vida. My opinion is I do think Vida falls kind of softly. I if I was an official, I would not see that as an offensive foul. I would see that as two players coming together. However, the problem that I do have with this goal is you can't call it one way on one hand and not call a foul. And then on the other hand, on the second penalty that was given to Marseille, call a foul on that play. If you're saying just the two players came together and they were going after the ball and there was no harm done, that goal counts perfectly, then you can't possibly call a penalty on the Amrabat play where he comes together, which is softer than baby skin. I mean, honestly, there's no other way to put how soft that penalty was on the third goal for Marseille, the second penalty that was given. So that's the only issue that I have with it. You can't call it one way because that just shows that either the officiating was terrible officiating, or they had it in for Ike. I mean, there's no other way to put it. You can't, I understand looking at things objectively and I could see things one way, another person could see things another way, but you can't just not call, you cannot call it one way on one hand and then call it the other way on the other. You can't say that on the first Marseille goal that Vida was not pushed, or just maybe in your logic, in your head, both the officiates and the VAR could see it as two players coming together and the attacking player just winning the ball and being able to put the ball in the back of the net. And then on the other hand, on the other play, which I know it was in a different part of the box, it was in a different type of play. I 100% get that. When they come together and brush shoulders, and when, you know, obviously the attacking player is trying to draw the contact. That's something that you hear about in football. You hear it more in basketball, where a player, you know, dribbles into the lane and goes up and bumps into a player, and they're trying to draw a foul. They're trying to draw contact. That's the most frustrating thing in rewatching this and rethinking about all this entire match. The other frustrating thing is that, just, you know, as I said before, yes, this is a season where it's kind of been very up and down for Ike. Ike have been kind of Jekyll and Hyde because of all the injuries. I mean, look, to put it simply for you guys, because I don't remember the whole injury report off the top of my head, who's injured. You know, I know Gacinovic was out. Levy Garcia definitely, you know, was out for this match. But you had, and I'm not trying to laugh because I really respect and love Mandalos in some ways, right? I know he's hurt a lot over the past few years, and sometimes deservingly and undeservingly so. We got to put it all out there. But there's no way in hell, if Gacinovic is healthy, if the rest of the team is healthy, that you put Mandalos in this starting lineup. You know, I don't... Mandalos right now in this Almeida system, in this Almeida Ike, I think comes in as a sub in the second half for just to give you a little bit of a more of a... give you more energy, give you more maybe being able to control the ball more in the midfield. Maybe in a league game where you're having trouble playing against closed defenses, because he does have a good way to find the ball, to thread the ball through to the attack, or can give you one brief moment of good quality. He's not a player to get up and down the pitch in this Almeida pressing style system that Almeida plays, the formation that Almeida likes to play. You know, just simply saying it, that this is not a player that should start for Ike in this match. For me, anyway. Not to say that Mandalos is not a quality player. He's a quality player. But that's just to give you an example of how injury-riddled this team has been. And it's been frustrating. It's been rough. You know, and the other thing that can be taken away from this season is just missed opportunities. Marseille, yes, they had great opportunities in the first half. They rightfully were up 1-0 at the half. I mean, look, football can punish you if you don't put the ball in the back of the net, but they clearly were the better team. But they also were not like you were watching Ike play Real Madrid, where they were just missing chance after chance after chance, like Ike were getting completely railed and bombarded, let's say. it was a game where Ike was still in it. You could tell one play, one good moment of quality that, let's segue into the second half, that came in the beginning of the second half, Ike were able to equalize, and you could feel the energy switch. You could feel the momentum switch go to Ike for that moment. And then again, just to get deflated when Stankovic makes that big mistake. It was a double big mistake. First off, the pass was terrible. And then, listen, footballers are humans too. They're going to make bad mistakes. And most of the time, that's why bad, really bad mistakes happen. It's just, it's a mental error. He had a mental error. I mean, in hindsight, we can look at it and say, Regamuto, why didn't you just let him score? No harm done, instead of letting him score, having one of your top performers, which Stankovic has been a top performer in both the league and in Europe this year. I mean, the guy has been a brick wall for the most part. Look, we have to forgive him for this one mistake. Players are going to make mistakes. Footballers are going to make mistakes. If you don't think so, go on a football pitch and try to do it yourself. See how many mistakes you make. Now, I get it, the argument that they make millions of dollars and this and that and blah, 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 and they're professionals and they train their whole lives. It's just going to happen. They're going to make mistakes. We shouldn't shoot the guy down because he made one mistake. But you're leaving your team with 10 men, and then I think he misses the rest of the matches in the group stage, right? If I'm not mistaken, he's going to miss two or three match ban? I don't remember. So tough break for Ike. And the funny thing is, in my mind, I'm thinking it up like, I'm thinking in the first half, okay, we conceded another goal in the first half, which sucks. We held pretty well together. You know, yeah, Marseille had great opportunities, but, you know, I was like, if we're able to get out of the half with just it being 0-0. And I'm like, well, at least in Europe now, we didn't concede a penalty. Out loud. You know what I mean? It felt like I completely jinxed the team. I was like, at least, to say it in English for those that don't understand, at least we didn't concede with a penalty again in Europe. Why did I feel the need to freaking say that out loud and in my mind? But just a bad play, just a bad moment. And despite that, we're still trying to play Bala. We still looked into it. And that's the frustrating thing, was we'll never know how the game ended up. But we know the trend of this Marseille team. They struggle in second half of games. And we saw that. We saw them struggle. We saw Ike gain some of the momentum. It looked like everything was shifting towards in favor of Ike. Brilliant goal by Pineda. Brilliant assist, I think, by Mandalos, and then a brilliant put away by Pineda to be able to keep that ball control and then not lose the ball in the middle of the box the way that he did. If you guys haven't checked out this goal, brilliant goal by Pineda. And just to see that momentum shift and just to be like, get excited about it and be like, yes, we're back into this thing. You know, then Anastasiadis came on after Stankovic, of course, took down the player inside the box with his hands. You know, he just lost sight of where the ball was, and just, it was a boneheaded play. Anastasiadis came on and played well, honestly. He played well, was not able to stop either of the penalties, but I think that second penalty just burned me up, man. That second penalty was just a terrible call, in my opinion. One thing I will take away from this match is that we can do well. We can beat Marseille. For me, it's disappointing, because I think if we would have at least gained a point in this match, if not all three, I truly believed if we gained all 3 points in this match, if we were able to take this match from Marseille, that's it. We've at least sealed one of the top two spots. Now it kind of becomes a little more difficult. Ike control their own destiny. You know, you at least try to get a point against Marseille. Marseille are beatable. I mean, yes, I know they just beat us 3-1, but in Athens, in front of our crowd, I truly believe that we can beat this team. but it becomes more difficult. It gets more challenging. The group starts to get more interesting. You know, if we don't beat Marseille, they're going to come in and give it their all because they're going to be in the same position we would have been. If they're able to take another 3 points from Aik and go up and have that gap, they've automatically almost sealed one of the top two spots if they come into Athens and beat us. And they're going to know that. I mean, compared to coming into Athens and beating us or beating Ajax or Brighton, sad to say, but they're going to put all their eggs in the basket of let's go into Athens and beat Aik and get those points. That way we can already, you know, I don't think they would mathematically qualify for the next round, but you're pretty much there if you're Marseille. If you're Aik and you lose this next match and let's say Brighton wins, which they beat Ajax, then things can get really tricky for Aik. You know, you're looking at going into a match then with Ajax in Amsterdam, basically playing to still be fighting for the top two spots, but also fighting to get a result to stay in that third place so you can at least qualify for Europa Conference League. It's going to make things very interesting. This win by Marseille made things very these wins by both Marseille and Brighton, I should say, made things very interesting in the group. Right now, as things stand, though, Aik are level with Brighton at 4 points. Marseille are up 1 point ahead of Aik at 5 points. And Ajax are at 2 points. Very, very interesting stuff going on in this group. And I mean, look, whatever happens, even let's say if Aik has a disastrous second round in this group, per se, hats off. I mean, to be able to do what they're able to do in this group, in this dubbed group of death of the Europa League, hats off to Aik. This team has done more than what we've asked for. We thought we were going to be bottom of the table. We thought we were like, you know, in my mind, I'm also thinking, if all these teams are firing on all cylinders, if we go by names alone, if Aik can just get a few points in this group, that would make us happy. To be sitting after the first three matches, to be sitting in second place, that's pretty good. With, you got two out of the last three matches at home left. So, you know, that's something to say. But I do think I have a good chance of having a better match against Marseille at home. Hopefully we can get Gacinovic back. Hopefully we can get Garcia back, who I think is the key. If we can get Garcia back and healthy, originally reports were that Garcia was going to be able to play against Marseille. He's been, he was scratched for the Marseille match, and then now all things point towards him playing against Bauk in the Derby Monday. And I'm glad maybe if he was ready, they don't rush him back and in case a chance of re-injury, because he has been injury riddled. I mean, they can't get this guy onto the pitch, and he's a real vocal point of this Aik attack. And I think he would completely change the attack, especially in Europe where you have teams that push their lines up so high against you. He can get in behind that defense. I mean, we all remember what he did in Brighton. That's why Aik were able to have such a good game against Brighton for the first few minutes, for the first whatever 30 minutes before he got injured and had to go off the pitch. But I think he came off in the second half. But he was crushing, you know, he was crushing Brighton. I remember Getzoglu talking on Sport FM after the Brighton match, how he had went to the bathroom at halftime or to get coffee or something, and he heard Brighton fans talking about how that number 7 is really killing us. So that's going to be very key that we get some of these players back. So hopefully we'll be more fit, more in shape, more ready to go in the second match against Marseille in Athens. Things are really heating up in this group. But as far as the atmosphere is concerned, as far as the videos that I've seen as Aik fans having fun in Marseille, as the stories that I've heard of how welcoming the Marseille fans and I don't know how to say it in English, Masali have been towards Aik fans and in general, the lovely, lovely stories. Just a great part of the world that I would love to visit one day, Massalia. So let's move on here. Let's continue with talking. I'll talk a little bit about, just very briefly, the Aesthetis match. Honestly, I didn't watch this match. To be full transparent here, I was in the hospital that morning, so I was able to listen to the game a little bit. League is a different thing. The league form, and I know, Ike, we're dealing with a lot of injuries against Aesthetis Tripolis. The scoreline, Ike ended up winning 3-0. The scoreline was not indicative of what happened on the pitch. A much more difficult match than what we expected. The first few moments until Ike were able to take the lead, Ike struggled, especially defensively, and especially Haji Safi. Haji Safi had a terrible match from what I could hear. And many people said that the woes, the way Ike looked in Kriti against Sofi is the way Ike looked against Aesthetis. Aesthetis were just not able to take advantage of early mistakes that Ike made at the back. And again, a Stankovic save in that match kept it 0-0. And then Ike were able to take the lead with Eliasson, who played great. Got kind of a revenge game for Eliasson, who was able to come back and score and really be the MVP of that match. On a pitch where he was injured last year and he was knocked out for a few months, those of you that remember. And Zuber had a tremendously great game. You know, at the end of the day, I pick up 3 points on the road at a very tough place to play. I think the past 2 or 3 seasons, we've dropped points in Tripoli, if I'm not mistaken. So a very tough place to play for Ike. They're able to pick up all 3 points. So at the end of the day, all is well, ends well. But the form of the team in the league, kind of a little scary. Especially hearing the reports that the team was playing probably as bad in the first part of the first half, the first 30 minutes or so, as bad as they did in Kriti. That's a little concerning. Let's move on. Let's talk a little bit of preview of the derby against Balk, the double-headed eagle derby Monday. I know some of you don't consider it a derby. I get it. All right. Don't kill me when you hear this. This is going to be very interesting. I'm a little disappointed that I'm going to miss this match. I hope that I can go back and watch it somehow on replay. I have a feeling this is going to be very interesting. We all know Lucescu has even lost his mind, according to Balk fans, which that's concerning. We all know what's going to go on with him, his antics. We all know the bitching and the moaning is going to be coming. If the referee makes any type of controversial decision, we know what he's going to be like. He's going to walk in front of Original 21. He's going to try to work the crowd, try to work the refs as he always does, throwing his hands up, his wannabe Mourinho antics. We all know you, Mr. Lucescu. But to talk about the product on the pitch, Balk, a much improved from last year. They seem to be coming together very well. This is going to be a very interesting derby, and it's going to be very interesting who's able to go for Ike, who's able to start. This could go, and I'm sorry that I'm saying it this way, I could see this going either way, because I think Balk have really hit a stride lately. I mean, you know, in Europe, yes, they were playing Aberdeen, but they're able to come back from 2-0 down the last 15 minutes and score 3 goals. So you still got players like Vidinha there. You still have quality. Balk has some quality. The youngsters are really performing well. You know, Costadellas is always dangerous. It's a big derby both for us and a lot for them. You know, it could be a statement game for Balk if they could come into Yasofya and are able to pick up 3 points or get a result. Right now they sit in second place. So it'll be a very interesting derby Monday. I really wish I was able to catch it, but we'll see. Hopefully I'll be able to listen to it. But very exciting, very interesting to see how it's going to play out. Very interesting. Both teams coming in with Balk coming in with a little bit more momentum, I think. And, you know, a lot of questions about both teams. I think this could be a statement game for either team. But we all know, you know, Almeida, his derby record is good. we tend to play well in derbies against in Ayia Sofia. We've played well against Bauk. Luchescu's not going to change up his system, which Ajk have been able to beat Luchescu's system. So if he doesn't make those adjustments that he needs to make for Bauk to play better. Now, as I said, Bauk have been playing better this season. It seems like all the work he put in last season in developing these youngsters and developing these players has come to fruition, and they're starting to be a better team. I mean, they're sitting, for God's sakes, they're sitting in second place in the league right now ahead of Ajk. So just a very interesting derby in general to kind of close this conversation out. You know, and then obviously, of course, what happened with the derby Apate Union, and I wish I had more time to discuss about that, which we all know the zoo that is the Greek Super League. I wish these owners, you know, not to call out Mr. Marinakis again, but I wish these owners could get a hold of themselves and do the greater good for the league and for football in Greece. But unfortunately, I feel like that's never going to happen. So let's quickly move on, guys, just to talk basketball a little bit. Let me take it back. Ajk, Bauk. This kind of has draw written all over it, right? For me, anyways. I think both teams, I think, would be happy with a point here. And I could see that if it's close late. Now, I can never count anything out on Almeida. And I think how much quality and what Ajk are able to bring from the bench is going to be key late on, especially if the score is like 1-1 or 0-0. I think either it's going to wind up being a tie, an entertaining tie, or I think I can pick up a late winner. Simply because when you're able to bring off quality off the bench, like Ajk are able to do, and we've seen this time and time again with how Almeida has built this team, that matters. When you're bringing in fresh legs, fresh attacking players, when you're taking out Amrabat and bringing in Eliasson or vice versa in the last 10, 15 minutes of the match, or if you're bringing on, you know, I know Araujo is injured. I don't remember the injury reports or how injured they were. Honestly, I haven't listened to a lot of stuff or been able to look at a lot of stuff to see how injured these players are. It's just going to be a very interesting match. Sorry to keep reiterating that, but yeah, I really think it's going to be a very interesting match. All right, let's move on here. Let's talk basketball for just a few moments. Now, I've been able to watch Ajk. Obviously, the season tip-off was not what we expected. Ajk lost to Lavrio. And I think Lavrio scored like 100 and something points on us, which was a little concerning when you're losing to Lavrio, who is considered to be a bottom feeder of the basketball league, who's considered to be fighting relegation this year. Very concerning to see that result for the first match of the league season. But then quickly, Ajk turn around the following week, and I saw it on the schedule. I'm like, oh, dear Lord, we're playing Olympiacos. And I was like, okay, can we not lose by like 50? It was honestly my response. It was honestly, and I know a lot of Ajk fans were probably feeling it. A lot of people that follow Ajk basketball were probably thinking the same thing. Like, can we not lose by 50? Could we keep the score at least? If we lose by like 20. Maybe Olympiacos will play some of their subs in. But no, that's not what happened. I went toe-to-toe with Olympiacos, and I could not believe my eyes when I kept checking the score. I wasn't able to watch this match, but I remember looking at the score, getting the alerts of the score, and well done, well done. They gained a lot of my respect there. I was finally able to catch this team and watch them against Ryzen Ludwigsburg, a team from Germany, in the BCL. Again, if you guys have listened to the show, I've always said the BCL is the most important competition for Ajk. The BCL and the Greek Cup. Because the Greek League, you ain't winning the Greek League. Not because crazy things can't happen in sports, but let's be honest, you're not getting the calls against Olympiacos and against Panathinaikos. Not to say that's the only reason Ajk are going to lose, but it's just budget-wise, the difference in the budget between all the clubs is outrageous. Again, I'm not going to get into it in this podcast, but when I talk more basketball in depth, I'll talk about how, because I know we have a lot of new listeners here, how the EuroLeague really being a closed league, and anyone who, especially here in the States, wants to support a European Super League in football, and, I mean, doesn't realize that it's going to kill off all the other teams and all the other leagues in the world, or all the other leagues in the continent, I should say, really look at how that's happened in basketball. And I'll go more in-depth with it again when I talk more in-depth about the basketball team. But I were able to get the victory. They were down in this match a little bit, but able to pull it off in the end. Very impressive victory against Ryzen Ludwigsburg, who is a top team in the BCL. My mind's completely blanking. I know we got a win in the league. I want to say it was against Apollon Patras, if I'm not mistaken. Not a very convincing win, but a win nonetheless in the following league game after that. And then they played a team in Italy whose name completely escapes me right now. Apologies. Down by 19. Down a lot in this match. And against a team that's like 13th in Italy, this should never have been an issue for Ike. Now, again, I have to talk about this. The turnover in roster. Every season this is happening, and I get it, because of the bans, because they can't keep anyone for a long time. I don't know exactly what the issue is there. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but every season it seems like the roster gets more impressive as far as like names that come through here. But it's hard to also get team continuity going. You know, if you're having a roster turnover that much, yes, basketball probably does not take as long as football. Or, you know, basketball, you can bring players together, but it still doesn't mean that a team's going to gel well together for a little while. You know, yeah, I mean, I watched an interview with one of the players for Ike, and he's a point guard. And he was talking about how, you know, they're hoping to hit their peak in probably like February, March, April, when the BCL playoffs start and when the Greek League playoffs start. And hopefully we do well in the Greek Cup. But that's a big what if. You have to take injuries as a concern. And then you know, we fall in love with the brand of the team because it's Ike. Anything that has Ike in front of it, like I've said before, I'm going to watch it. No matter what the sport is, I'm going to sit there and watch it. But at the same time, like, I want to develop like a love for this team itself. And it feels like every season when you're turning over the roster and I don't know who the heck's coming and going, it's kind of hard to do that. You know, when I see like Akil Mitchell, who was a great player last year and he's already gone, you can't build continuity. You can't build a relationship between the players and the fans that way. And of course it's concerning because of what I just said with, yes, we're in Europe, we're in the BCL, but don't kid yourself, the BCL is not the EuroLeague. And I hope one day they can come back together and FIBA and whatever the other EuroLeague body is called and make things the way they used to be where it's not closed. Unfortunately, I really feel like that's not going to happen. But it's sad because I feel like how much longer can Makis Angelopoulos keep this up? How much longer can he keep the ship afloat? He's done great things, been able to get the team in arena, to get the team trophies, you know, to keep this team kind of at a respectable level again compared to what they were before. Of course, obviously, they need more fan support, but it's also like, fan support for what? Yes, fans are going to show up for their derby matches, but fans also know that they're not stupid. They know you're not going to be able to compete for a league title. You're not, the BCL is not EuroLeague. You're not playing Barcelona. You're not playing Maccabi Tel Aviv. You're not playing these primetime teams. You're not playing your Athens rivals in EuroLeague matches that matter a lot. So it's like, how are you going to attract a crowd? How are you going to grow your budget? I don't know. It's just, you know, it's a tough place to be. But I'll talk about that more later. Guys, thanks so much for being here. And, you know, have a great weekend. Enjoy all the football. Opus panda, forza, I gotta get that xanapulme. I'll talk to you guys later.